Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako niso lahko počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Savana. Savana. Con tu brisa de mastranto.
Lepo pozdravljeni v Kultivatorju. Pa začnimo. V Venezueli se je v začetku februarja začelo protestno valovanje, ki je sprva zaobšlo vso državo, kasneje pa so se protesti strnili v večjih mestnih okrožjih, kot so Caracas, Trujillo in San Cristobal. Protestno gibanje v Venezueli se označuje za študentsko, kot gibanje za pravice, svoboda govora in ostalih svoboščin. Že malo natančnejši pogled v razmere kaže na to, da je boj za oblast v državi z največjo zalogo nafte na svetu, milo rečeno, večplasten in seže onkraj svobode govora in študentskih protestov. Ne glede na vse tuje in opozicijske interese v državi, drži dejstvo, da je ljudstvo razklano, da se dviguje raven kriminala in da v Venezueli letno umre 25 tisoč ljudi zaradi nasilne smrti. Razlogov za vpogled je torej več. V Kultivatorju govorimo z Gregorjem Wilpertom, urednikom portala venezuelaanalysis.net in avtorjem knjige Changing Venezuela by Taking Power in študentom novinarstva ter aktualnim protestnikom Gabrielom Guzmanom. Za začetek smo Gregorja Wilperta prosili, da opiše dogajanje v Venezueli in ga postavi v širši kontekst.
The situation right now in Venezuela is one in which the opposition is engaging in often violent and confrontational demonstrations with the police in mostly in the wealthier neighborhoods of Venezuela. And they are succeeding to some extent in portraying the police reaction to their protests as being a repression of peaceful demonstrations. But in the vast majority of cases, I'm not saying in all, but in the vast majority of cases, the police is being attacked, but they're attacking public installations, buildings. There's been a tremendous amount of vandalism involved with these demonstrations. And so this is happening, of course, for several different reasons. One of them is it is a calculated effort to make the Venezuelan government look bad internationally, because just the police repression is being portrayed, but not the demonstrators' violence against public institutions. But the other thing is that there's also an internal battle within the opposition going on, and the more radical right is trying to gain the leadership of the opposition in Venezuela. And it seems to me that they're also receiving support from the United States government in this, because these are sectors of the opposition that have, we know for a fact, that they've received financial support from the U.S. government, and the official statements of both Obama and President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry have been basically in support of the opposition's demonstration, arguing that you know that the government should negotiate with them when they're really engaged in violent street demonstrations, which makes it very difficult for a government to negotiate with such those kinds of demonstrations. But so that, and of course the other reason why there's good reason to believe that that the Obama administration is supporting this is, of course, the history of U.S. involvement in Latin America, and particularly in Venezuela in the 2002 coup attempt against President Chavez. In some ways, this is a very similar pattern to the attempted coup of 2002. So that's basically kind of in a very brief nutshell. Of course, there are real demands. I think, well, there's some fake demands and some real ones. The fake one, that is the one that's not going to get anywhere, and the opposition knows this, is the demand that the government resign. That's not going to happen. I'm quite sure about that. But there's, of course, also complaints about the economy, the high inflation rate, and shortages that exist in Venezuela. It's not as bad as the opposition portrays it, but it is a serious issue that many people are concerned about. So it's connected. They're trying to take advantage of that situation, of course, to gain sympathy, but I don't think they've really succeeded because many people are very frustrated with these demonstrations right now.
Govorili smo tudi z Gabrielom Guzmanom, študentom novinarstva iz Caracasa, ki ima svoj pogled na protestno dogajanje v Venezueli.
I'm going to explain you where the protests come from. First of all, it is important to say that we have the worst economy in the world. This is proved. We have oil, such as the Arab Emirates, and it seems to be no good for us because we have an inflation of 6.2%. Venezuelan people constantly live in a shortage of goods, such as electricity and food. Most important is the food, because it means that we can find 8 of each 100 products that we need for. We don't have production inside the country when we used to be one of the best in South America. There is a problem of collective living, because our enterprises are working 60% of their capacity. Important. Enterprises such as Polar Enterprises have moved to Colombia and Brazil to find some respect to the work and rights. And no less important, we have a cost change that limits us extremely because we can bring raw material from of our products. Newspaper, which is here physically because of this matter.
Ključno za razumevanje protestov in lažje ustvarjanje slike o tem, kaj se zares dogaja v Venezueli, je razumevanje strukture medijev in njihove vloge v venezuelski družbi. Večina medijskih hiš, sploh tistih, ki so povezane s tujimi tiskovnimi agencijami, ki narekujejo globalno narativo o posameznih dogodkih, je namreč v lasti bogatega razreda ali pod vplivom ameriških korporacij, ki so s čavistično revolucijo izgubile tako finančno kot politično moč. Wilperta smo zato povprašali o vlogi medijev v protestih.
In the 2002 coup attempt against Chavez, the media played an incredibly important role, the Venezuelan media and also the international media, in creating the conditions for the coup against Chavez by basically completely distorting what was happening in Venezuela, lying, saying that the opposition that the Chavez supporters were shooting at the opposition. So we know that the media has been a very important political actor. It's become, domestically within Venezuela, it's become a little less important in the sense that the broadcast media has become more balanced. The private media, at least, has become more balanced because they've realized that, you know, a huge chunk of the population is pro Bolivarian revolution, and after all these years, they've moderated their tone significantly. I think a much more important role this time around is playing the international media, in the way it is portraying these demonstrations as being one a case of government and state repression against peaceful demonstrators. It's just not true. The demonstrations have, for a large part, not all of them, but for a large part, have been somewhat violent, and the police's reaction was against that. And the international media, of course, is just especially CNN and then some other Latin American, private Latin American international networks have been portraying this as very one-sidedly. And this has created this very false impression, I think, in the international mind as to what's happening. My wife just returned from Venezuela, and of course, within Venezuela, the perception is totally different from what people perceive from outside of Venezuela. Because of this strong state media distortion internationally. Whereas within Venezuela, people do have a much more realistic appreciation for what's actually happening. Not only that, they live there and see the violence of the demonstration.
Trenutni dogodki v Venezueli lahko kažejo tudi na reminiscenco dogajanja v 70-ih letih, ko je ameriška neoliberalna struja za svoj prvi poligon izbrala Čile. Kako to vidi Guzman?
I think it's kind of similar to the Chile and the Chile era because students here are for freedom. There's a matter I didn't talk to you about. It's because we don't have freedom of speech. Our media is being closed, so students are fighting for them. I think there's a special voice talking for us, and those are the students. Is scared of them because I think they can mobilize all the population here. So he tries to capture them and put them in jail, put them some false charges against them, just looking forward to not let them for what they want. That is freedom of this country, of this government.
Študentsko gibanje, ki je v luči zahodnih medijev gonilo protestov v Venezueli, je v isti državi ujeto v različna interesna gibanja. Ob razumevanju dogajanja v Venezueli je potrebna previdnost. Nadaljuje Gabriel Guzman.
Actually, there's no support for anybody in the country. We are the people here fighting are student weapons. They don't have a way to anybody. Just the government in Venezuela has weapons, army, and they are killing our people. They are putting them in jail with force. And Maduro is just saying that the USA is supporting us, which is false. They just want us to be in dialogue because they don't have interest enough in us because they think that even when we sell them oil, we have to fight inside with the problems that we have here.
Has the student body been in contact with the opposition politicians?
No, actually, tonight there was a program in CNN where the student leaders talked between themselves about some resolutions for the future, but they didn't conclude anything because there are a lot of hate between them, so they just try to give the support to the other side.
Still, it seems that the student body somehow in between the two powers, on one side the opposition of Maduro and its media, and on the other side, or maybe even three powers, the opposition itself, and then the third power, CNN, and the foreign connection. Do you know what I mean?
Actually, I don't call them, but a way of support from our countries. Students here, we don't have power at all. We only have a voice to show that we don't agree with is happening here.
Yes, okay.
So the only power here seems to be the government with Maduro in it.
Yes, I understand. I just wanted to point out that probably CNN is also behind someone's interest.
Tudi Wilperta smo vprašali, kdo dejansko je na ulicah in v čigavem interesu so protesti, oziroma kdo jih bo ob nikakor ne nujni predpostavki njihove iskrenosti in spontanosti poskušal izkoristiti. Tudi različne progresivne sile, ki sicer ne delujejo v protestih, naprimer anarhistična skupina Movimento Sindical de Base, namreč obsojajo postopanje Madurove vlade in njegovega represivnega organa, saj z omejevanjem protestov zanika demokratično pravico do zbiranja in izražanja mnenja, četudi se z letem ne strinjajo. Govori Greg Wilpert.
Well, the opposition, as I think I said in the beginning, is really very divided internally. And there is a sector, the radical right wing, which is led by Leopoldo López and Maria Corina Machado, who are both actually presidential candidates within the opposition, but lost to Enrique Capriles. Leopoldo López and Maria Corina Machado are leading this current effort. And partly, I think one can see this as an effort to gain the upper hand within the opposition. And the two of them, it's very obvious, they are U.S. educated. López went to Harvard. Maria Corina Machado also speaks fluent English and was also partly, I think, educated in the U.S. They're obviously also from the upper class of Venezuelan society. And so they, in a sense, are taking advantage of the economic issues that many people are complaining about, and using that as an opportunity to basically stage a coup, not just against Maduro, in which they won't succeed, but much more likely where they will succeed or can succeed is to stage a coup against the opposition leadership.
Kar neverjetno oziroma verjetno najbolj bega je prevladojoč diskurs v zahodnih medijih o slabem ekonomskem in socialnem stanju v Venezueli. V zadnjih časih se sicer Venezuela res sooča z zelo visoko inflacijo in pomankanjem nekaterih osnovnih dobrin, vendar pa je socialistična vladavina Čaveza in sedaj Madura za najrevnejše prebivalstvo prinesla predvsem ogromno izboljšav. Poleg tega je možno ekonomske težave, vsaj delno, pripisati bolj ali manj odkriti ekonomski vojni, ki jo proti neposlušni Venezueli, ki na ameriškem dvorišču straši socialističnimi politikami, vodijo velika podjetja in interesi kapitala. Wilpertu oziroma Wilperta smo zato povprašali o utemeljenosti katastrofičnega prikazovanja ekonomske situacije v Venezueli.
Well, I mean, again, this is a complete distortions that have been going on in international meetings, portraying Venezuela as as the most unequal society in Latin America and things like that. The truth is just the opposite. That is, during the Chavez government and also Maduro's government, inequality has declined dramatically. It's went from being one of the most unequal countries of Latin America to being, except for Cuba, the most equal one in terms of income. Poverty was reduced by two-thirds from something like 50% to now, I think it's around 20%. Extreme poverty was reduced also dramatically. I mean, all of these factors point very clearly explain why the Chavez and Maduro governments have won elections over and over again. I mean, just recently they won an election in December 8, a municipal election with a vote of around 10% margin into their favor. Maduro won very narrowly right after Chavez's death, but since then he's been able to increase his popularity despite the economic problems that exist in Venezuela, because many people in Venezuela, I think correctly, identify the economic problems as being the result of an economic war that is being conducted by the business class in Venezuela against the Maduro government. And so people are divided in terms of who to blame for the high inflation rate and the shortages. And there's plenty of evidence that, you know, the shortages, for example, are happening on our because of a concerted effort. And so that is on the part of the business class to make the government look bad.
Za konec smo na situacijo pogledali še z geostrateškega vidika. Venezuelska vlada je namreč kljub množičnim protestom dobila podporo predsednikov latinoameriških vlad, ki so v odločni izjavi zatrdili, da gre pri venezuelskih protestih za očiten poskus državnega udara proti demokratično izvoljeni vladi. Slednje je še posebej povedno, če vemo, da naprimer brazilska predsednica Dilma Rousseff, ki se v svoji državi prav tako sooča s protesti zaradi slabe ekonomske situacije, tako take solidarnosti svojih kolegov ni bila deležna. Grega Wilperja smo zato za konec prosili, da postavi v kontekst na eni strani močno regionalno podporo venezuelske vladi in na drugi odkrito spodbujanje nemirov strani ameriške administracije in medijev.
Well, the main thing that the U.S. government has done is to, the main thing that we know about, we don't really know about all of the covert actions that are happening, but the ones that we do know about is the funding of opposition organizations with millions and millions of dollars every year. And this is, you know, known through the budgeting process. And this, again, like I said, this is just the overt portion, the one that we know about. Is we're talking about tens of millions of dollars being funneled to the opposition through so-called training programs. But we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Of course, just the statements that the Obama administration makes about what's happening in Venezuela is another form of support for the opposition, the moral support that's very important for the opposition, because that way they know that the U.S. government has their back. If the Obama administration didn't make such statements, they would probably be much more reluctant. So just on those levels, we know that there's a tremendous amount of support for the opposition, and in that way, the U.S. government is definitely contributing to the conflict in Venezuela, despite, you know, contrary to, no matter what denials the U.S. government makes. Like, for example, just now, you know, three diplomats were expelled from Venezuela, U.S. diplomats were expelled from Venezuela for their participation in helping put together these demonstrations. Of course, the U.S. government denied that, but it's quite likely that they were indeed involved, because beforehand they were meeting with student organizations. They claimed it was to give them visas, but nobody. That's very unusual that they would have private meetings with student organizations in order to give them visas to go to the U.S. It's just unheard of.
Stanje stvari v Venezueli sta kultivirala Jaša in Marko.
Kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten. Noben drug.
Socialni invalid. In ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži.